It's time for Health Jack with Heidi Godman, a daily dose of health and wellness information. Call or text Heidi your questions at 373-1220. That's 373-1220. And now here's Heidi Godman.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Health Check. I'm Heidi Godman. Hope you're doing well on this wonderful day. We have a great program lined up for you today. In a little bit, it'll be time for our weekly Brain Boost with Dr. Dean Sutherland. And I said, hey, Dean, what do you want to talk about today? And he sent me a very interesting story about a new study that shows people who smoke, in particular women, are much more vulnerable to brain bleeding. So if you're a smoker, especially a female smoker, you are at a greater risk for bleeding in the lining of the brain. That's known as a subarachnoid hemorrhage, a greater risk than non-smokers. We're going to talk to Dean and find out why he felt this was so urgent. And of course, I love to warn everybody and just give you a heads up so you can make your own decisions. We are also going to be speaking today with my friend Dr. Manjula Jegasothy. She is a Harvard and Yale-trained aesthetic dermatologist. Today, Manjula and I are going to be talking about how diet affects your skin and common skin signals of an internal problem or condition. Also, earlobe repair, which, you know, did you ever wear those gigantic earrings in the 80s and 90s? I have a funny story to tell you about that, what happened to me when I was wearing a pair of those live on the air when I was anchoring the news as a young news anchor. Kind of embarrassing, but I'm going to tell you. And I know a lot of women who used to wear those gigantic earrings and then their earlobes would stretch. Well, apparently you can repair them. Also, we're going to talk about going to the beach and how the salt water and humidity can actually help your skin and hair. You might think that it's a little abrasive, but we're going to find out how it can help. So let's go now to Dr. Manjula Jegasothy. Hi, Manjula.
Hi, Heidi. Thank you so much for having me again on the show.
Well, I'm so glad that you're here. And these are some really great topics. So the skin topic in particular, this is something that I think a lot of people get confused about because you don't necessarily make the connection of what you eat and how your skin looks. But I know it can affect teenagers and also people of all ages.
Absolutely. I wanted to cover two main, categories of skin types. The first is what's a good diet to keep your skin looking healthy and young through the years. So we can call it the ageless skin diet.
Okay.
And then the other category would be for people with acne problems. Which would you like to tackle first?
Let's talk about acne, and then we can spend lots of time talking about how to have younger looking skin. But also want to tackle not only acne for younger people, but acne for older adults too, as their hormones start to change.
Yes, and in fact, you know, all acne, whether it's in young people, teenagers, or even older adults, and that's mostly women, is still hormonally mediated. And for years and years, you know, my father was a dermatologist also, and you'd go to the dermatologist and they would tell you, oh, what you eat has no bearing on your acne, it doesn't matter. And now finally the studies are coming out that it does matter, that eating dairy-based foods and then also foods that are treated with a lot of hormones, you know, so that they become better, you know, sources of protein, et cetera, such as I always tell people, chicken breasts. A lot of non-organic chicken breasts are injected with hormones when the chicken is alive so that the breast tissue itself is plumper, juicier, meatier. So that's why, you know, American chicken is much more, the breast is twice the size of anywhere else in the world because of these hormone treatments.
Hmm. All right. So should you not eat chicken with hormones in it if you're trying to clear your skin? I mean, in general, it would be a good idea for anyone, but not everybody is able to do that. So how about your skin and acne?
Sure. So essentially, the link is that anything that contains hormones, which as I said, is most notably hormone-treated meat or dairy, which has its own what we call endogenous hormones, because the mother has to give hormones to the baby for it to grow. So all milk, even if it's organic, has some level of hormones. So I tell people to avoid dairy if they're having acne, and that includes chocolate. People think it's the chocolate in the chocolate, but it's probably the dairy in the chocolate. So if you use eat dark chocolate with no milk in it, that might be okay. And then if you can't afford organic or non-hormone-treated animal protein, then I recommend, you know, a soy protein or a whey protein. Some people say that soy also has some mild estrogenic component. So even if the soy bothers you, then you can go to other protein sources. But I think it's worth it to change up these dietary issues for a little while, like, you know, minimally 6 months, to see if it improves your acne. It's worth it in the long run.
And what about the idea of refined carbs and sugar and things like that? Does that have any effect on your skin?
Yes. So those have more of an effect on the aging potential of the skin and not as much on acne per se.
All right. So really mainly with acne, it could be dairy or chicken with hormones.
Or any meat, really, that's
any meat.
With hormones.
Okay. All right. And those are the main things. All right. But then if you want to look younger and keep your skin looking younger, longer, what do you do?
So, again, I like to think of, you know, keeping your skin healthy and looking ageless is from the inside out also. And so it means maintaining a healthy body. So, of course, all the things that we hear about are healthy for the rest of our body is healthy for our skin also. So, you know, specifically high levels of antioxidants. So eating, you know, your 5 to 6 servings of fruits or vegetables a day, high in antioxidants, especially vitamin C. So anything that's good for your skin topically is also good to take internally. So again, retinol is basically a modified vitamin A. So anything with beta carotene, such as the leafy green vegetables and carrots. And then what you mentioned, foods with that are not so refined, that are, you know, complex carbohydrates and not refined carbohydrates, they reduce spikes in your blood sugar, which actually, when you have these spikes in your blood sugar, it reduces your collagen growth. And they found a link to that. So if you can maintain an even insulin and blood sugar level throughout your day by eating more complex carbohydrates or even lowering your carbohydrate load altogether and, you know, consuming your carbs and fruits and vegetables, then you can maintain steady sugar levels, and that improves collagen production.
Are there any other foods we should watch out for?
I think that, you know, diets that are high in fat, what they go ahead and do is they mess with your hormone levels. And so it can sort of give you times when your hormones, certain level times of the day right after you eat a high triglyceride or high fat meal, your insulin goes up, and then along with it, your cortisol, which is your stress hormone, which then in fact affects all of the other hormones. And so can, again, it interrupts sort of the smooth processing of the collagen. You know, collagen is constantly being recycled. It's made and broken down. And in order to maintain healthy, ageless looking skin, what you want to do is have the production levels be higher than the breakdown levels. And so if you eat a highly fatty meal, that increases the enzymes that break down substances such as fats, such as collagen, etc.
And let alone what high fat can do to the rest of you. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. I want to go back to the acne aspect of it, because I've talked to so many women who are perimenopausal or they've gone through menopause, and they say, you know, I had beautiful skin my whole life, then now suddenly it's just going crazy. Why does that happen?
So we know in menopause, the hormone levels, specifically estrogen, goes down the most. Progesterone is second, and then testosterone is the least. So if your estrogen levels are banking sharply, then your ratio of estrogen to testosterone changes and becomes a lot smaller, meaning you have comparatively higher levels of testosterone, and that's what causes acne.
Mm. But you might not want to just suddenly take estrogen. I mean, hormone therapy is very risky for some people. It's not right for everybody. So what can you do to combat it? Turn to diet?
Well, I have a wonderful menopausal specialist gynecologist I refer my patients to, because the literature on that is so vast. You know, 2 years ago, do you take a bioidentical hormone? Is that safer in terms of a cancer risk than a regular hormonal replacement therapy? It's a very complex issue, and it has to do with your family history, and it has to do, in some women, it is certainly better for them to take some sort of hormonal therapy than not to. And then in other women, it's much safer to do something else. So I treat the acne. I tell the people, I give them, whatever it is they need for the acne, whether it's the proper, topical regimen or some prescription gels or maybe even oral antibiotics for a short time. And then in terms of their hormonal flux, I refer that to the gynecologist.
Good advice. All right. So treat it from the inside and the outside. And then if it is related to hormones, talk to a specialist. All right. Well, Yes. This is great. And we have a specialist who can tell us all about skin today. So we are going to keep on speaking with Dr. Manjula Jagasothy, but we need to take a quick break. This is Health Check with Heidi Godman on WSRQ. Stay with us. Welcome back to Health Check. I'm Heidi Godman. If you're just joining us, my guest today is Dr. Manjula Jagasothy. She's an aesthetic dermatologist, also founder of the Miami Skin Institute, trained at Harvard and Yale, and we get to talk to her from time to time. Today, we are talking all about different skin issues, of course, and we're going to focus now on common skin signals of internal problems or conditions. And Manjula, there are a number of different conditions that can actually present as symptoms on your skin, right?
Yes. And it's funny because obviously the skin is the organ on the body that we see first. It's the one on the outside. And so many conditions present to the dermatologist first that are then signals to much more serious things internally. So we're often the gatekeepers or the first people to see these, the first doctors to diagnose these things for many of our patients.
Well, you gave me a list of different conditions, so I'm going to say the condition and then you can tell me how it presents. So the first one is diabetes.
Sure. So if I see a patient who's a little bit or moderately overweight, and they have a dark thickness, thickening band around their neck or in their underarms. A lot of them come to me because they think that it's some sort of cosmetic sun-related issue that can be lasered off, or maybe it's related to their underarm hair. And then when I tell them, have you had your sugars checked recently? They're fairly surprised. So, and a lot of times this is a really good early marker for diabetes. And so the patients go and get their sugars checked and they're mildly or moderately high. They can go on treatment much sooner and it might actually avert the need for insulin later in life. So it's an important thing not to ignore. The condition itself is called acanthosis nigricans.
What would cause a dark ring around the neck?
We think it's been studied and we haven't been able to figure out exactly why, because all it shows is really a thickening and chronic inflammation. But why those particular areas, we don't know. We think it must have to do with the sugar buildup in those areas, but we haven't been able to find a link.
All right. Another condition that can present as a skin symptom is polycystic ovarian syndrome. Tell us about that.
Yes. So this is a condition mostly diagnosed when a woman is in her late teens, 20s, or early 30s, where she forms cysts on her ovaries that may or may not have an egg associated with it. But the condition is important to diagnose and treat as early as possible because it can impair a person's fertility. And so these women often come first to the dermatologist, even before they go to see the gynecologist for the first time, because they have a triad of moderate overweight and excess hair on the face or neck, and also chin area especially, and then also they tend to have acne. So they come to me as the aesthetic dermatologist for the acne and the excess hair, and then, I kind of notice that they have this triad, and so I send them also to the gynecologist as part of my treatment of them to make sure that their hormone levels are okay and to get perhaps an ovarian ultrasound.
Sure. All right. There's another one, and that's chronic eczema or lupus.
Well, it's dermatomyositis, which is sort of a subvariant of lupus. So if you have a purple-shaped hue around your eyes, it's not just a normal under-eye circle. I'm not talking about, you know, if you haven't had a lot of sleep and you're looking kind of sallow and ragged and your under-eyes look bad. I mean, all of a sudden you get a quite, you know, prominent pink, blue, purple type circle on both upper and lower eyelids that seems to come out of nowhere, then you should definitely see your primary care doctor for what's called an ANA test. It's a blood test, and also be evaluated by the dermatologist for different forms of, you know, fairly serious. If you have fairly serious eczema, it also carries with it genetically some other issues, and so it's important to get it treated.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then also sometimes you were telling me that tumors can actually present initially as skin conditions.
So this is something for people who are more in the sort of 50 to 75-year-old age range. If you suddenly develop a large number, I'm talking 10 to 20, seborrheic keratoses, and the seborrheic keratoses are those brown sort of warty growths that you'll see on the hands and arms of older people. They used to be called liver spots in the old days. So if you see a number of them all of a sudden sprout up on your back in a sort of a Christmas tree pattern that has a fancy name in dermatology, it's called the sign of Lesser Trelat. It's the two doctors who first described it about 100 years ago. And that's a sign of an internal malignancy, such as a colon cancer or lung cancer. So if you have that happen right away, it is very important that you go and get a good overall physical and even perhaps, you know, CT scanning.
And something you said for that, you said if it suddenly appears, that seems to be a trigger to go see your doctor for any kind of skin condition, really for any condition, but the suddenly aspect of,
yes,
of it.
Yes. We've talked about this before. I think even last month when we did the ABCDs of moles and how to do self-skin exams, you know, I always tell my patients, it's not subtle. It happens within a month to 2 months. So don't ignore something that comes up suddenly within a month to 2 months. Go get it seen.
Now, actinic keratosis that just suddenly shows up, one of those brown spots by itself, is that cause for concern?
So an actinic keratosis is different from a seborrheic keratosis. It's more like pink and paley and kind of thick. Now, those are precursors to squamous cell skin cancer on the body, which is not as serious as an internal malignancy. But yes, it should be looked at immediately too, because the longer you wait, it has to be cut out. And so then the bigger your scar or your, you know, disfigurement would be. So yes, that should be looked at quickly, but it's not, you know, as much of a life or death situation, perhaps, as a lung cancer or a colon cancer.
So these are conditions that might show up on your skin first: diabetes, polycystic ovarian syndrome, chronic eczema or lupus, or potentially an internal malignancy. But what about conditions that show up on the skin that people think are only skin related that really are just a symptom of what's happening inside, such as psoriasis?
Yes, well, so psoriasis is an interesting thing that we found out so much about in the last 5 years or so. You know, everyone just thought psoriasis was kind of itty, sometimes zeros, rash that covers. Some people have it all over. Some people just have it on their elbows and knees. But now we're finding that most people with psoriasis, a very staggeringly large number, like 90% of people, also have a much higher risk than the average population of diabetes, heart disease, stroke, and heart attack. So it's very important that your psoriasis treated, because we think that psoriasis inflammation is what causes these other problems. They're all linked to the same attic. So if you reduce inflammatory leaders of psoriasis, the catch word now is IL-17, IL-17 is what causes, we think, all of these conditions. It's called a metabolic syndrome where you have all of these issues. It's important to get your IL-17 levels down. It not only improves your psoriasis, but it reduces your risk of all of these Aisha egg problems well.
How else do you treat psoriasis?
By the way, interleukin 17 mediators, these are in a category of medicines called biologics, which you might have seen the TV commercials are all over the place now, and it's a very big new drug market. Before, all we had were topical steroids. You know, we had people wrap their skin up with Saran Wrap and Crisco and, you know, take cool showers, all the sort of things that dermatologists have done for 100 years. We didn't have much more than that until we started getting into all of this immunology and learning that there are pathways to reduce it from the blood rather than from the outside.
So it sounds like the big lesson here and the takeaway is if your skin is going through something, it could be another condition, and to pay attention to it and get to your dermatologist as soon as you can. And you have a great website, Manjula, so I'm going to tell everybody about it. Then we are going to take a quick break. Everybody, this is Health Check with Heidi Godman on WSRQ. And if you want to find out more about my guest today, Dr. Manjula Jegasothy, who is the founder of the Miami Skin Institute, you can just check out her website, miamiskininstitute.com, and she has all kinds of media links on there because she has a podcast channel and she is on Twitter and Facebook and she blogs and she does it all, and she's amazing, and she is going to stick around with us for another segment. So I hope you stick around too, because when we come back, we're going to talk all about a way to fix earlobes. Yes, earlobe repair. And also, we're going to find out if going to the beach is actually good for your skin and hair. The salt water, the humidity, you might think it's bad, but could be good for you. This is Health Check with Heidi Godman on WSRQ. We'll be right back. Stick with us. Welcome back to Health Check. I'm Heidi Godman. If you're just joining us, my guest today is Dr. Manjula Jegasothy. She's an aesthetic dermatologist trained at Harvard and Yale. She's the founder of the Miami Skin Institute, which you can check out at miamiskininstitute.com. And it's time now for us to talk about something called earlobe repair. And before we do, I just want to tell you a funny story. So back in the 80s and 90s, when I was a young TV news anchor, wearing those gigantic earrings was very big to do on TV, the huge, huge, huge earrings. And I was a young anchor, and maybe it was 1988, and I really hadn't been anchoring long at all. And in the middle of anchoring a very, very serious news story, one of those gigantic earrings I was wearing fell off and clunk, clunk, clink, clink, clunk, 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 like fell off, hit the anchor desk, and then rolled along. And I was mortified and horrified. And what do you do? And I was live on the air, didn't know what to do. So I kept on talking as if it hadn't happened. And then we got calls afterward that was the most hilarious thing anyone had ever seen before. It was a good lesson to me that you always acknowledge something that happens. All I had to do was say, whoops, lost an earring. Back to the news. But I knew a lot of women, Manjula, who wore those gigantic big earrings and then would say, oh my gosh, my earlobes are starting to stretch. And that's something that women experience, right?
Absolutely. And yeah, you know, I hear stories to be that it actually got caught something and it pulled it out, which is even worse than happens to a lot of women who wore those earrings back then. And they're a little bit trendy even now to wear with bathing suits and stuff, especially in South Florida, you know, with the party beach scene. The young girls are wearing them now, so I tell them to be careful. So when you talk about earlobe repair, the main problem, it's a fairly quick and easy procedure to be done surgically. You know, it takes maybe 15 minutes. We just, you know, freshen the edges of the skin and then sew it all together. But the thing is, the patients don't like that they then can't get re-pierced and not have it stretch again for another 3 to 6 months. So they are stuck wearing clip-on earrings for 3 to 6 months, and a lot of people don't want to do that. So So now the latest thing I'm doing is I'm injecting Restylane into the earlobe all around that piercing. And what it does is the extra volume around it kind of plumps up the earlobe, but also makes the hole a lot smaller and virtually corrects it without your having to go through that period of time with the clip-on earring.
Mm. Oh, okay. So, but when, if you are going to have the surgery, I mean, are you snipping off some skin down there at the bottom of the earlobe?
Yes. You can't simply tie top skin to top skin because then it will create like a oil-based cyst. You have to freshen the edges and you have to tie. You have to basically sew a freshened edge of the skin to another one, a cut edge. You can't do a, you know, you see what I mean?
Yes, I do.
So
all
that's
right.
Why. And that's why it can't be re-pierced for a while either.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I stopped wearing those gigantic clunker earrings decades ago.
Me too.
Yeah, and
me
I'm glad I did. But is it riskier if you're an older woman wearing those earrings?
Absolutely, because it is known that you lose about 50% of your earlobe tissue by the age of 50. So wearing the heavy earrings, you have a lot less to even shore it up and to give it some strength to not pull through or even to not make the piercing sag.
Yipes. Okay. So, but there is something that you can do about it. Do we have a price range for that?
Sure. It's around $600 per lobe. And most of my patients, it lasts between 2 and 4 years. So they're very happy.
Oh, that's good. All right. So that's what you can do about that little fix. And if you're ever anchoring the news and your earring falls off, please acknowledge it. Something else that we want to talk about, too, before you go is the beach, a visit to the beach, the humidity, the salt water. I know so many people who say, oh, it's just absolutely terrible for my hair and my skin. But you wanted to talk about how it actually can help your hair and skin.
Sure. You know, it's just the beach gets so much bad press with the sun and skin cancer and all that. And I wanted to kind of say that obviously we all like it. We live here and we like to go to the beach. It's beautiful. So here are some things it actually can do that can be helpful. So the salt in the water is actually helpful to people with inflammatory skin conditions, such as eczema and psoriasis you had mentioned earlier, Heidi. Psoriatics for years have been going to places like the Dead Sea and particularly ocean waters with really high salt contents because they found that it's anti-inflammatory to inflamed skin conditions. So that's one way that the salt water can help your skin. Another way is if you have dry or listless or fine hair, the humidity and salt air can also get into the hair shaft and into the scalp and can give you sort of loose, those beachy waves that a lot of people are talking about that are so trendy right now. And there's so many hair products to give you that kind of look, that kind of tussle, you know, beachy look to your hair if you have fine hair. So it can plump up fine hair. That's one way it can improve the hair. And then very minute doses of sun, but, you know, if you wear an SPF 30 and you get direct sunlight for 5 to 10 minutes a day, it can reduce the inflammation associated with acne and rosacea. So those are three ways that the sun and beach done in, you know, judicious measured amounts can actually help your hair, skin, and skin.
Well, good to know. could the salt water ever hurt our skin or hair?
You know, it's interesting because you would think that if you have an open sore or open cut or something, it would actually be, you know, it would make it hurt or hurt worse, like, you know, applying alcohol to it. But it's the opposite. It's actually very soothing.
Unless there is Vibrio vulnificus in the water, right? That bacterium that could be in the water and then it could be very, very dangerous. So generally speaking, we don't go in the water if we have any open sores. So
I think that Vibrio is usually, don't you guys, doesn't the news report it now in Florida? Whenever there are waves of Vibrio in the ocean, it's usually all over the news in my experience the last few years, right?
It is, but you know, not everybody watches the news. So I think if we live in Florida, we know if you have a cut, you don't go in the water until it just at least heals over a little bit. So it's not not completely open. And then in freshwater, you've got like the scary brain-eating amoeba that can go up into your sinuses and then get to your brain, which is not your skin.
I'm not talking about freshwater. I'm not a big fan of freshwater, actually. I think that saltwater is healthier because it kills a lot of organisms.
Yeah, I like the saltwater too. Love going to the beach. So there are so many different ways that we can find out more. And one of the big ones is checking out all of the things that you have on your website and your blog and your podcast channel. And oh my gosh, so many different ways.
I have good news.
Oh, you do?
I have good news. Yes, we got our radio show together onto iTunes as well.
Oh my goodness.
For free.
Wow,
yes,
that's fantastic.
People can download. Yeah, so we're both on iTunes now.
That's very exciting. Okay, terrific. So if someone wants to find out more, Manjula, how do we do that?
So you can go to iTunes now and just search Miami Skin Institute or Health Check with Heidi Godman, and you'll find our iPod channel with all of our radio shows.
Okay, so that's how you can download it and listen to the program. Or, of course, you can go to sarasotatalkradio.com. which is WSRQ's website, and listen to it there. And if you also wanted to find out more about what you do, tell us about the other mediums that you take advantage of.
Sure. I have a blog on WordPress. I have a couple of blogs on Google+. I have a great before and after picture gallery of my procedures on Pinterest. I tweet almost every day with my media quotes and magazine presentations, and of course my website and Facebook page for the latest in what's going on in our practice.
And we can find it all at your website, right?
Yes, MiamiSkinInstitute.com.
Wonderful. Well, it is so great talking to you. Thank you so much for being on today.
Thank you so much for having me. You have a great summer.
You too. You too. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, great.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. Everybody, again, that's Dr. Manjula Jegasothy. She's a Harvard and Yale-trained aesthetic dermatologist, and you can check out more about her by going to MiamiSkinInstitute.com. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, it'll be time for our weekly Brain Boost with Dr. Dean Sutherland. We're going to be talking about smoking and the risk of bleeding for female smokers, for all smokers, but particularly female smokers. This is Health Check with Heidi Godman on WSRQ. We'll be right back.